plan is for this afternoon. We have another 30 minutes of literature presentation by Charlie. Then we have the Service Structure Committee presentation. And then we will move into the proposal that we, or the motion that we had in work yesterday afternoon. So as soon as you're ready, Charlie, you're on the deal. Oh, that's right. Oh, let me see. I haven't seen him in the last 30 minutes. Okay, sit down, please. And if you're in the process of moving to your seat, please do it quietly so that we can get started.
Okay, thanks everybody and welcome back from lunch. Hold on a second. Okay, thanks very much. Welcome back from lunch, everybody. We're going to the second part of the literature presentation, which is actually a focused discussion before we go into the full Roberts process about the addressing predatory behavior card, safety cards. I'm hoping, Jim, you can get the actual online version of this proposal on the screen. Also, Josh earlier today handed out some hard copy pages of the proposed document. Okay, so that might also be, it's got draft on it, so that might be another way to look at it. So, I'll have to ask Josh. So anyway, as we get started, the idea of what I'm trying to do today, which is actually very similar to how we approach literature development discussions, we all kind of experienced the frustration yesterday of what happens when you're trying to wordsmith and people have slightly different versions of this phrase versus that phrase. And then you're starting to get in, you know, motions to postpone and call the question, all that. That's actually a little harder a way of editing than we usually have in the literature committee. We at least get to just kind of talk about it back and forth. And so Bonnie yesterday mentioned, I thought it was an idea with great value, that it was worth, before we get to the motion stage, just having a few big picture questions, you know, to get people, sort of get the sense of the group. And we actually have... We hope to put a proposal on the floor today, but we have two different versions, and we're going to be guided by the sense of the group in deciding what we formally propose. Yeah, here we have a first motion up here and then an alternative motion. I'll walk through what those are as part of the discussion. But mainly, I'd like to ask three questions and sort of dedicate about 7-8 minutes to each of them. The first question is just a big, first off, if you have any fundamental questions about this idea of a safety card that we would make available to meetings that might help guide them in dealing with a situation if somebody's behaving in a predatory behavior. So the first of the three questions I want to ask, and just invite people to come up and grab the microphone or have a runner to take it out to you, is without regard to the execution, because we always have opinions about execution, do you think the idea of a safety card related to predatory behavior or even other safety issues, but this one particularly, do you think the idea of this type of card is a good idea or just a bad idea? In other words, we need to sort of make the first decision. Do we even want to go down this road or not? So with that, if anybody is willing to, has an opinion and wants to raise their hand, we'll open it up. I see Jody and then Alexandra. This is not in the binder. These are some things. This is a Word document.
I think having a card that mentions safety in general, not necessarily suggesting predatory behavior, would be reassuring and provide some structure and direction to be able to respond with group support to a disturbed brother or sister in recovery. So I'm all in favor of a simple placard of sort present at all meetings.
Alexandra's over there. Okay, but generally you think it's a good idea. We may cut to the chase. Is there anybody here who thinks it's, anybody else who's raised their hand? Okay, Sue and then Bill over here.
I'll let Bill go first.
Yeah.
Bill, Florida, 140.
Give me a few minutes.
My group had an issue with behavior in it, so we developed some language that we shared with this committee about, it's in the big red book, about victimizers and their scripts and things like that. And what we're finding in the groups that I attend is where there's so many readings in the beginning of the meeting that we're limiting our sharing time a lot. And I'm not sure that the application of a tent card is really suitable for our meeting. We don't have lots of places that we could set this card that could be seen. We could use a flyer, a trifold flyer with this subject matter. Okay. Thank you.
So on this one, Bill, you're saying the idea of communicating something is of value, less certain about the execution. Okay, we have a hand back there, and then Mikkel.
Hi, my name is Tove from Sweden 001, and I so agree with the last speaker, because we just had a discussion about this safety issue through the whole lunch, me and my sponsor, and I'm just really, I think a folder would mm-hmm. be great mm-hmm. For this case. Thank you.
Thank you. I see Des and then Dave S.
Hi, Des, DC008. My thoughts are I'm in agreement with the essence of having some sort of safety statement. I believe that the way this works is if something's approved as ACA literature, then groups can decide to adopt it in whatever format works for their group. So I think talking about how isn't as important as just getting what we want the message of the safety statement to do. So I'm in favor of the having something.
I'm sorry, Mikkel was first and then Dave S.
Mikkel, Den 004. Point of clarification. First of all, thank you for your effort. I think it's a very, very important issue to talk about. Could you just explain for non-Americans specifically what a tent card is?
A tent card would look something like this sitting on the table of your group, if you had a table, right? If you're sitting around a table. And so what's in that draft document, some things would be spelt on the outside, and then there would be actually things for the group for business meetings that will be written on the inside if it goes through as it's proposed.
Is that Brendan Sam what was said there? Okay. Greg R. I'm sorry. I think Dave was first and then you. Okay.
Dave S., Wisconsin, 112, WI 112. Yeah, it would seem to me that, you know, I've been to enough different meetings now. The church basement meetings have no place to put this, and it's one more thing to carry around with the basket or whatever and all the other crap you have to generate a meeting. But maybe you can make a trifold that you could tape into a tent card and cover all the bases with one piece of paper.
It's Greg R. from Texas. It's 158 is what. We don't really care. We're not going to use a tent card, and we might or might not pass out the trifold, but right now we're doing the same thing that Bill said. We're doing a reading out of the Big Red Book. We find that that is not adequate, but we have members in our group conscience that just resist putting something in the readings that is not in the formal literature. So all we care is that we get formal literature out. It doesn't matter whether it's a trifold or whatever.
So I'm going to wrap up this. First of all, thank you. It's a helpful start. My sense is that most people think this is a good topic to address and make guidance available in. You're not committing yourself to anything, but if you generally agree with that proposition, can you raise your paddles? Okay. So my judgment of this, thank you very much. We're not going to do a formal count. Are there people who think this is a bad idea and we should not take any further action in this? Okay, so my sense, I'm sorry, we got from random, from remote. Random. I think I'm starting to have English issues here.
As statements, I guess, to the committee, from Sharon from Sydney Intergroup 627.
What time is it in Sydney? I just got to 10 hours ahead, okay.
Okay. I think we need to focus on what we want, i.e. safety, and avoid using emotive words like predatory. As a newcomer, that word would have scared me off because it indicates precedence, i.e. that it's occurred before. I would not want to come back if I was feeling vulnerable.
So that's more about emphasizing protecting safety, which I think the title is. Okay. So generally saying, my inference from this is that people think it's a good idea to address this, and that takes us to the second round, which is execution. We've already heard a few ideas, like one is a trifold rather than a card, possibly something can be done as a trifold and a card. The question I want to put out for maybe 6 or 7 minutes is, are there ways you'd like to see this modified that would remove some obstacle that you're currently feeling? In other words, you like the idea, but you'd like to see it executed in a different way. Any all comments welcome. Sue, and then Mikkel, and then David.
Just a comment on the predator piece is that I like to use the language of our traits, our laundry list and our other laundry list, the victim versus the victimizer, and helping us to understand where we are in the continuum. It just brings a lot more compassion, and it's our ACA. So that's it for now.
Very good, thank you.
Mikkel Den, 004. Just two comments on it. First of all, I would support the idea of having overwhelmingly supportive, positive language, so a solution focus. And the other point was that, and I'm sure you've already thought about this, but just want to say it, that it goes in line with the rest of the literature that it's non-gendered. And I saw that this piece is, so just
okay.
It was just to emphasize it. Because often if you use like examples in the trifold, it bores a little bit about what we talked about earlier, that usually when you talk about predatory behavior like 13-stepping, most examples you get all around outside of ACA and other places would be typically gendered in what people experience most, but there are also women who 13-step men. So just to bring that out, because we rarely talk about it, so just make sure that it's not biased in that way, which I'm sure you won't. So thank you.
Other, David?
Yeah, David Florida, 134. I'm in favor of a safety card, but very brief, and basically expanding on, you know, the first tradition, which is, you know, our common welfare comes first, personal recovery follows close behind. It's, that's safety, mm-hmm. you know, that we must, you know, keep safe at meetings to have a warm, safe place for newcomers. And a very long piece like this, I would, it strikes me as too long, be it ignored and stay on the bottom of the box, but a nice brief safety card is good. We do that with crosstalk. We read a small crosstalk thing, but then in my home group, it was voted on that, you know, if somebody really starts crosstalking and it bothers you, usually we'll wait to the end of the meeting to talk to them about it. But if it goes on, any member can ask to please reread that paragraph. So, but again, it's a paragraph, it's not a book. Thank you.
I see Jody's hand, and maybe one or, and then, Mikkel, I'm going to give others a chance first.
This comment really is in the wake of David's comment, which we too have, we read a crosstalk statement once a month. We read a longer statement regarding crosstalk that's more explicit. I think safety awareness, it might be possible to do that, but also we ask our members who at any point in time feel unsafe or crosstalk, they can raise their hand in the moment and ask the chair of the meeting to be able to read a statement we have.
I'm actually not gonna speak as just a participant in this case, because I was obviously not directly involved in most of the writing, but close enough to it that a few thoughts occurred to me where I asked that we make this point. I have felt, to me, predatory behavior is one safety issue that happens in meetings. But one of the things I have found with ACA meetings that's been a challenge, and this has gone back years, is when something topples out of control, that there is victimizer behavior of any kind. I have found that ACA groups oftentimes don't know how to deal with it. There's no clear guidance. What do we do now? And the big fear I've had from day one, we started talking about this after the Toronto, at the Toronto AWC last year, is that particularly with the predatory behavior, there's often an element of secrecy. It oftentimes doesn't happen in the rules. So it feels, or in the room, it feels fundamentally different from the crosstalk thing, which happens in the meeting. I've seen other things like people suddenly going up and shouting in people's faces. Always happens after the meeting, sometimes out in the parking lot. And so one point I was hoping we would add that would differentiate it from the crosstalk is that safety really also at least envelop sometime outside the meeting, certainly the time from when people gather in a space to when they leave in the space. The other is, because I think this is something which we've never really said, that I believe myself it's the responsibility of the whole group when safety is violated, that we must not allow our meeting rooms to replicate the homes we grew up in. And I think a lot of meetings have never been told that. I don't think our Red Book literature really says that. So in whatever form we go forward from this, those are points I would like to see be a part of this. You know, and actually, if people generally agree with that part of the message, raise your hands if you could. Basically, that safety is not just in the 60 minutes of a meeting or 90 minutes of a meeting, but it really begins when people arrive till at least when they leave and possibly even beyond that. And that the whole group has a responsibility for protecting the safety of a group if it's violated, not just the responsibility of the recipient. Carol's got her hand up.
Thank you. The person who called in and mentioned that using predator mm-hmm. as a term is really going to scare newcomers off. And I agree. I don't think I would have gone to a meeting if I saw something that said that. I was in a meeting where we actually had a gun fight outside by police officers, and That was, you know, that was bad enough, but to be told that the meeting isn't safe would have scared me off. Thank you.
Meeting. One more comment from Jody, and then we're going to summarize this section.
I think that I'm reminded of the crosstalk workshop that was presented and that facilitated the development of addressing this issue. I think it could be useful to be able to deliver suggested guidelines for handling these situations that every group, you know, that would be a part of every sort of startup meeting kit.
And there actually is some literature in the Red Book, Big Red Book, that would be a helpful start. I see Sharon in the back.
Okay, this is from Alex O, IG 638. Predatory behavior has been recent conversations in the Tennessee Intergroup. We do want literature on predatory behavior, such as a trifold.
Thank you.
Okay, I have a second one.
Please.
Thank you. Okay, Helen, California, 1385. I agree with the statement. Get this message out and let groups decide later more about what format to use in individual groups, such as trifold versus tent. This way, it doesn't have to be an extra reading with the groups deciding. Thank you.
Thank you. And that may be something we need to clarify. Okay, I'm going to summarize here a little bit because I think a number of specific ideas came up. I heard a substantial number of people, I'm going to ask for a show of hands, who like the idea. They believe this is an important goal, but they have some significant execution change they would like to see. If that reflects your thinking, hands up, paddles up. Okay. Fair enough. So that's good. This is good. So this now takes us to, I'm sorry, this takes us down to round three, because that's my impression too, that there's a lot of good ideas that have been raised. We have alternative one, the traditional alternative. We have a motion. We have motions to postpone. Basically, this would be approve us to seeking approval of the card in its current form, simply blanket permission. It's ACA literature, send it out. As we've all seen over the last day or two, oftentimes new ideas and unanticipated issues creep in. This is a much more gradualistic approach, and I'm likely to expand it. We may have to take a few minutes to come up with a motion before we get to that stage. Rather than you've approved it and we're now just sending it out to the groups, this would have been or would be that we're seeking authorization to field test this particular literature. And the idea is you would send it out as a draft for comment thing. People would have the same access to it. They could download it from the site. You know, we'd notify them of it. But it would have a built-in review period of, you know, like say 6-9 months where try this out. Is it helping your meeting? Is it of value? Do you have changes? Get back to us. And that the idea is that based on the comments we get back, a revised safety card would be brought to the next ABC or the ABC afterwards. So it sort of gives a time of fellowship review before we come back for a permanent approval. So one question I want to ask, but not the only question, one is do people prefer the let's make the decision entirely today or get it out in some form so that people can comment on it and come back to us a year from now? That's one question I'd like to hear people's thoughts on. The second one is, which I think there is probably some substantial merit for based on what I'm hearing, do we want to even go further and say, take it off this form for a couple of months, have, as we sort of came to the other day, a group of people who are interested in here today, do a few follow-up conversations, see if we can do revisions, is trifold better, you know, sort of work out those issues, but authorize us once we sort of get it worked out on that level to get it out as a test flyer. So I started with two options. We now actually have three. So I'm going to walk through these again, and then I'd welcome comments. Comment one is we decide today up or down on the version we have read. Option two, take this version as it was presented today, the one with the draft on it, do a year essentially field testing and come back next year, you know, with here's what we found from the comments, here's our revisions. Or option 2A, take a couple of months. Anybody in this room is welcome as a volunteer. Do some additional work with the goal of getting, trusting us enough to say we can get it out to the fellowship as a field test version, say in 4 to 6 months would be option, I'll call that option three. So what I would welcome is people to take turns with the microphone and say, which of those feel better to you?
It's my read, then 014. It's my experience that it's better to get literature out there, progress before perfection, because I think it's needed. Thank you.
Crazy to be in a room, there's only two Davids instead of 10. I favor number three, which is to have a working group that gets it out within a quarter, within 3 months, and puts it out to the groups for comments and for use to see how it works, kind of like we did with the emotional trifold. Me, I'm in favor of a very short one, but other maybe the short one you have and a long one is for when somebody really screws up, you say, oh, take this and go home and read it before you come back to the meeting. But I like that approach, and that would get it out quicker to the groups rather than what I would perceive it would take of us to hash out a motion today that everybody agreed with. Thank you.
Mikkel, Bill, Christian, and then there's a hand back, Jeannie.
Mikkel, Densier 04. I would prefer the third option too. I think there's come up some suggestions here that would be good for us to have being a part of it. I would personally like to see a possible trifold address something about more about also what happens outside the meetings. Like one of the things I experienced was being exposed to slander and splitting between old timers when I came to the program. So in private messaging, they would say, don't you think this and this person is doing such and such and they're stupid, you know, blah, blah, blah. We can't control it, but we can certainly speak to it and raise awareness about it. And I think that would be an important part of it because I think sometimes the ones lead to the other. So I would like to see that included. Go for it.
Christian next, and then Jeannie.
Bill, Florida 140. I really have an issue with the word predatory. I like the third option, but I believe it needs to be taken out and maybe perpetrator put in there or something, because predatory is not mentioned in our big red book except twice in the ninth step. Perpetrator's mentioned a dozen times in the safety part of the book. So I'd like to see it go out for comment, like you suggested, but not with that word in it.
This came up also. Sue used the word victimizer as a substitute. Quick show of hands. We'll get to you in a second, Berta. Predator, victimizer, perpetrator. Let's just go with objections. Do people object to the use predatory? Yeah, a lot. Okay, that's a lot of energy around that. See, this is going to be super valuable as we go do what's obviously going to be a reconstruction. Perpetrator. Do people have energy around that word? I'm sorry. Good question. Do people have negative concerns about the word perpetrator? Okay, there's a significant show of hands. Victimizer. Victimizer appears to be the least polarizing word there. So, Sharon.
Yeah, we just wanted to weigh in with some things from the remote delegates. Yeah. It's kind of hard to us to stay involved as you're doing these dynamic polling of the room.
Yeah.
So please be mindful and thoughtful of them. We did put the question out to the remote delegates, 1, 2, and 3, and the tally currently is 2 in favor of option 1, 1 in favor of option 2, and 5 in favor of option 3. And while I have the mic, let me read another comment. Someone mentioned that they think it's too lengthy as is. It needs to be condensed so it's usable in a meeting that's only an hour. And we have Alex from Tennessee, Intergroup 638. I think my group will agree with option 3. And this motion needs possible revisions and further discussion. And the request to actually have had the options 1, 2, and 3 defined on the screen would have been very helpful, they say as well.
Christian.
Christian, Intergroup 2. I speak in favor of all three simultaneously. So, really, so you can have a pilot for those who want it with an existing tent, and that feedback from that can be very useful. In the meantime, you have a working group that considers all the options, including feedback from the live tented meetings. And then finally, you write something up and bring it to next year's meeting.
Okay, I'm going to hold on you for 1 second, Sharon. Hands that were up a second ago. Tracy, was yours up? Okay, I'm going to say Dahlia next, then Tracy, then Jeannie. I'm sorry, I lost track of you. And then, and actually, Dahlia first, then Sharon, then Tracy. I'm sorry, Berta.
So this is Dahlia, Israel, ISR 0007. I'm against all three because the negative language doesn't sound to me like serving, as it is for the, victim. So I would think as sort of a victim, maybe, possibly, that's what we're trying to protect, more with stress on safety, keeping safety, and more into the more positive language that empowers the person that whose safety we're trying to protect, because all the others, nobody identifies with them as the predator. Nobody would say, oh yeah, well, I will not do that because I'm a predator or a victimizer. They don't think that way. They don't see it this way. This is how I feel. And then also the victim, that's what we're trying to do, empower them. And many times they don't see themselves as a victim in this situation. So I would feel what is necessary is something that really stresses the safety, the importance of it, and the right to claim safety, to keep it both inside and outside of the meetings. Okay. Thank you.
To clarify, Dahlia, I just want to check in. I would actually like to move over to Berta first because I lost track of her. Option 3 also allows for thematic revisions. In other words, it's not just changing the wording. We get to look at the whole thing. Or do we want to focus more broadly on safety? So does that change your opinion about option 3?
No, it doesn't. I just want to say that it might be even none of the three.
Okay, so Berta would be next. And then we'll do three more comments, four more comments. I'm sorry, I'm a softy. But Berta, go ahead.
I would just like to, about this making the three stuff, maybe it's important to inform our groups that we are making the whole three at the same time, so it won't be a lot of, you understand? Thank you.
Sharon, next.
From Tony P., Illinois 193, used the term problematic behavior.
Okay. Back corner, and then Jeannie will be our last, unfortunately, because we need to move on. Oh, sorry, Josh, we'll get a chance.
My name is Melinda, Minnesota Intergroup 56. I just want to throw the word aggressor into the pool. I really appreciated the comments earlier about that it's not just sexual, it could be spiritual, it could be emotional. It could be financial, it could be a lot of different things. I think aggressive behavior would encompass all of that. I'm not sure exactly what the receiving end of aggressive behavior would be, maybe receiver of aggressive behavior. But just wanted to get that out there, that I really think this safety concern would be multifaceted.
Thank you. Jeannie, next, then we'll close up with Josh for comment.
FL650IG, I just wanted to piggyback on what Mikkel said about slander being incorporated and strengthen the component related to crosstalk applying before and after the meeting regarding harassment. And then I was just going to make a motion for 3, but
we're
wait.
We're not even in a position of doing motions
there,
right now.
I knew that.
Yeah. Last from Josh, and then we will talk as we close down this section on what this will mean for the motion you will be dealing with.
So Aaron and I had a similar response. We just huddled about this. we see that people are having a response to the word predatory and others potentially negative language. However, I think it's a really important piece of context to understand that in creating this working group, we specifically said we are not talking about meeting safety altogether. We are talking about one piece, which is this thing we're calling predatory behavior. And we can talk about what that means, but we're talking about a specific type of behavior that makes a meeting unsafe. So we're not talking about crosstalk. We're not talking about necessarily slander. We're talking about a certain dynamic that happens between people. And in my opinion, and I'll shut up here and let Aaron speak in a second, is that by trying to make it positive, we're actually dancing around naming the thing we're actually talking about. And that's my big concern. When I hear people saying this, I understand, but I feel like if we go in that direction, it's actually going to water down the thing we're actually started this group trying to talk about.
I really can't say much more than what Josh said, except this is a very negative behavior. It is damaging. It is what we grew up with, maybe in another form. I did have incest in my household, so it is a predator, and I do see predators, and I think, you know, what we came up with over the past year of working with this, we struggled with that word too. And we had a forum and our groups talked about it very regularly. So we recognize that. I think we don't want to water it down, and we have to distinguish. This is about predatory behavior. The other stuff is about group safety.
Any thoughts on that? Beatrice, and one more, and then we're going to wrap this. Okay, we'll hear you.
313. My issue with what you're saying is that I'm fairly new to ACA. If you use the word predator, what comes to my mind, shit, I am in the same place as where I was before, so it's not safe for me. So most probably I would not come back. That's the way I respond, resonate to me when you say that.
More comments, and then if anybody has not spoken so far, Alexander, have you spoken in this conversation? Okay, Alexander next, and then okay, Jasmina, and then Alexei, we'll do three last one, and we're running out of time. I'm bargaining away the whole day. Sharon, I will let you do a quick version here. Yeah.
Alexandra,
okay.
Sweden, 0163. Of all this that I've heard, what waters down through me is we need to get it out now. This behavior is different than the others. What makes it easier for newcomers so it doesn't scare them away? We need to name it, because if you can't name it, we can't talk about it, we can't deal with it. But I like the idea of using our existing literature, using the word victimizer, because it's a very strong word, and if that makes it easier to pass it, I think it's good. And if we need to get this to pass, to have all these three options, let's do it. But let's, other things I think it's important to wait, that's what I've learned. But this behavior, I have also grown up with child sexual abuse and this not talking thing. And we need to talk about it, and it makes me as a newcomer feel safe. And as a woman in this society, it happened to me something when I was in the delegate training. I got a private message. I don't know if it was a member of the whatever or if it was, you know. We need to talk about it in a good way. Thank you.
Sharon.
Yeah, from Justine, New Jersey, 139. As a victim of this type of behavior, there aren't acceptable substitutes for the word predator. As a victim of this type of behavior, there aren't acceptable substitutes for the word predator that doesn't seem to minimize my experience.
Two last comments, and then we're going to wrap up. Jasmine, I think, was next, and then Alexia.
Are you a delegate, Jasmine?
I'm in intergroup two, and I'm
Intergroup rep from New York, so
Sorry.
Holding it up there. Hi, my name is Jasmina.
I'm sorry. Jasmina, I truly apologize about this, but apparently, according to our rules, we only have one per intergroup in the discussion, so I have to rule that out of order. One more was Alexia. Yeah, yeah. No, no. Sorry. Apparently, I'm told no. I want you to go to Alexia, and then we're going to wrap it up.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Alexia, EG632. Well, what I'm thinking is that safety is very important for ACA meetings, but what I'm really missing in this discussion is that I think the safety theme is issue is something for a group inventory flyer or trifold. So I don't really see that separately. I think that should go into something for a group inventory. And I do know that we don't have that. In Germany, we have developed our own group inventory. How do you call this? Document? I don't know, because we wanted to do that, because it's very important. And we found out that it's really important to talk about that, also to talk about safety. And I wouldn't like to separate that, but do that together. Thank you.
We'll wrap up with Christian, who can speak on behalf of the great intergroup of New York.
Yeah, the feedback I've gotten from certain members of my intergroup is that women have experienced active aggression in the intergroup from other members of the intergroup, and it's a critical issue, and it needs to be dealt with immediately. Thank you.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is a summary. I do feel there have been a number of execution issues raised, and certainly a substantial number of people who say we like the idea but want a little more work on it. It strikes me that some variation of option three, which has not been written but will be very shortly, gets us there. There is still a vigorous discussion on how to convey this material in a way that is forceful without being traumatizing. And victimizer has been suggested by some. Others are saying predatory really still needs to be in there. What I would like to do is, and I'll recognize Carol in a second, come up with an option three that invites others who've been part of this discussion to be at least with one roundtable follow-up, maybe two or three, but with a goal of getting a document out within 3 to 4 months. That would be the option three I've done. I've not written it up. If that were a general sense of direction, how many people feel like they would support that as an approach? It's not unanimous, but significant number, probably enough for substantial unity of merit, the people who oppose that approach. Okay. I think that's based on this. Okay, all right, Carol, go ahead.
I think that we need to remind people that meetings are autonomous. If we come up with something here that they don't approve of and don't want to use, they don't have to.
Of course. So anyway, so on this basis, I want to thank everybody. This is going to be wrapping up the literature presentation. I really appreciate the support of the chair in allowing this to play out. The action item of this is I will spend some time with Josh and Aaron. When is the vote of this supposed to happen? Immediately?
No. It'll be at 3:15.
Okay, that's a break. So what we'll do is we will do some word crafting that attempts to carry out what has been the sense of the group here. And so one last question, because I know there are different ways of trying to do a very complex balancing review process. Did people generally find this to be a helpful process in getting the sense of the group? Okay. Thank you. I think we will take that as a lesson for future literature proposals at future ABCs. It's a very hard balancing act to pull off. And thank you very much for a very thoughtful discussion. That's the end of the literature report.
Hey, Charlotte. What's that? Okay, go ahead. Excuse me just a minute, Charlie. So is that also the special presentation on service structure? That's why I wanted to make sure. Okay, that's what I thought.
Does anyone know an Almina Calcan? Okay. Do you know where she is? Okay, if you would, the front desk needs to see her. And the login sheet, is that somewhere still moving around? The delegate sign-in sheet, yes. Okay, just the delegates only need to sign in. Delegates for the ABC. Thanks.
And we have a surprise guest speaker named Charlie.
To take another American phrase, back by popular demand. Actually, trust me, even with our poor, or let's say, informal planning that we use with WSO, it was never intended I was going to do two presentations in a row. Marcia Jay, who is the chair of the Service Structure Committee, who seems to have a unique jinx about attending ABCs. Last year, she had to fly home early because she was ill in the middle of the ABC. This year, she didn't even make it in her first day in Malmo. She was on a tour and broke her leg and had to be flown home. So we miss her. I was the vice chair of the Service Structure Committee. So much like the literature, there's a lot of big issues that take time to digest on this one. And so I am stepping in for Marcia in her absence. And it's going to be a combination of telling you a little bit about the history of this committee, the issues we have been trying to engage, what we have been doing in the last year. But then we actually want to take the second half and do an interactive series of exercises where actually we're going to ask people to sort of form informal groups of 8 or 10 people for some focused discussions. So this is our planet. If we were to identify places which do not have significant populations of alcoholics or families victimized by dysfunctional behavior, we would have to really focus on Antarctica and the Arctic Ocean and perhaps the northern portions of Greenland. Australasia? We have a dysfunctional typesetter here. So anyway, no, this is actually, in fairness, Marcia was doing this on the plane while she was flying home with broken legs. So I'm gonna seek a little compassion. So anyway, but as you all know, historically, I think it's fair to say, most of the early activity for ACA as it got started in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s, was the US, Canada, and then I think a number of European countries got started quite early. And what you really had was a lot of meetings. If you can flip to the next slide, Jim. You had a lot of meetings, but not a lot necessarily of any real organization to the whole thing. Of course, for 20 plus years, we didn't even have literature. And so there's always been kind of a separation between us and some of the more established fellowships like AA. We have what we call our official ACA service network, which is this very traditional, what we call the inverted pyramid, where meetings have most of the people. They have really most of the sort of the conscience of the fellowship. People know what their needs are. They carry out the traditions at a local level. Then you start getting into more further away from the ground level service. Intergroups, how many people here are part of an intergroup? This is, I think, an actual unusual number here. It's a good half of the room has you know, active involvement in an intergroup. A lot of areas, they don't even have an intergroup. It's just simply your meeting. We have a new phenomenon in the last 3 years. Our first was approved in 2017, is a development called Regions. Now, I say new development. There have been regions on the books in ACA since at least the 1990s, Carol. Earlier, 1980s. But there was a long period where ACA really slid into, you know, very secondary status. A lot of people stopped going to meetings. A lot of meetings died. And a lot of the regions were essentially wiped out during that period. And so even though the Big Red Book speaks of regions, when the Greater Western Region was formed and then certified in early 2017, we actually have one region in all of ACA. We've been creating a map, which I'll be moving on to in a second. So even though on the books this is a section of the service network or structure, I would dare say, how many people in this room are conscious of having a region that serves them? Okay, these are our guests from California. So four or five. You can see the service network suddenly starts drying up. And then, of course, all of us together, however you define participation in WSO, every delegate certainly is an important officer of WSO. So everybody here has that affiliation, even though we have many others. And what happens is, oftentimes for many people, you have meetings, no intergroup, no region, WSO, which is going to be problematic. I'm going to say go ahead to the next. And so really what this has resulted in is a lot of meetings operating as an island, you know, where essentially people come to their own ACA meeting, and that is really all of ACA from their experience, you know, which is great until you run into problems. And we were just talking about one in the last session, predatory behavior, running a business meeting. There's all kinds of elements, you know, trying to train sponsors. There's getting books delivered in Europe, translated and then delivered, huge issues. And so you need a higher level of service just to function. And we are now getting a surge of intergroups, especially in the US, but a lot of meetings still float out kind of on a tether, like a little island out in the ocean. So the subtext here says many meetings, you know, operate in isolation. So next slide, Jim. So that gets us to our history. 2016, after the ABC in Delray Beach, there were several issues that sort of came to a head. One was it was becoming very clear, and it's very evident here. This is actually one of the best attended ABCs we've ever had, particularly when you add in the remote people. It was clear that ACA was rapidly growing. It was not clear that we had enough of a service network in place to handle it, so that if you were a new group, you needed guidance. In many cases, calling WSO was your only option, or in Europe, calling, you know, MyBrit. So that was one big issue. Also, we have made a lot of changes, which I'll go through a few. But there were some concerns that structurally there weren't really a lot of checks and balances within the system. Everything was sort of done through the OPPM. The board rewrote the OPPM. The board reelected board members. So there's a sense that it was maybe a little bit too much of a closed society, and that if people had concerns out in the fellowship, there wouldn't necessarily be a lot of avenues to affect change. So the Service Structure Ad Hoc Committee was formed. We originally were only formed for a year. We were supposed to come up with recommendations. And in the first year, we came up with eight, but they really fell into three categories. One was more fellow access to WSO, fewer sort of institutional barriers. A second one, which I've already alluded to, was reduce all the holes in the service structure, create a more filled out system so that there was less isolation. People can really know each other. I think all of us at some time, if you've just talked to anybody from anywhere else, there's excitement. You know, you're finding out how are people doing, dealing with the same problems elsewhere. We wanted to create more of that. And then lastly, and this is going to be a big focus of the coming year, it was very obvious that we need a service manual. We have all our stuff in the big red book. We need something that actually tells people things like, how do you do a business meeting? What does substantial unanimity mean? That sort of thing. So after the year, our recommendations were, I think, unanimously approved in San Diego, certainly overwhelmingly. And we also, a short time afterwards, were named a standing committee, which meant we didn't have to keep coming back every year saying, keep us going for another year. So we became the service structure committee. And then, for reasons I'm going to go through real briefly, we recently renamed ourselves the Service Network Committee because we've sort of been developing a different vision of what is developing here. So, Jim, again, coming back to this is what a service structure looks like. We have actually gotten some resistance at times because people feel like, oh, you're creating this new structure that's going to, you're imposing it. It's going to, create more barriers between us. And what we really wanted to get to is something more of a service network. And this is already happening a lot of different ways. We have Slack. So if you're in an intergroup and you go on the intergroup channel, you can talk to an intergroup member in Sydney or Copenhagen, right away. And so what we wanted was more connection that was based on communication, not on authority, not on hierarchy. And we've already seen evidence of these things happening. Now, we will have to come back with our victimizing behavior motion, but that actually began in Washington, D.C., from a real problem. And the difference about WSO, I'm being told stop.
Could you please hold the microphone closer to your mouth? Your audio is going in and out
okay.
on the internet.
Okay. My apologies. We had one local problem in one meeting, or maybe a few meetings, probably a half dozen meetings in the DC area involving one person. The intergroup realized as they were notified of this problem, they didn't clearly have a way of going. I happen to have been a member of that intergroup, so as they talked to me, we all immediately recognized there was nothing unique about this intergroup. With a service structure, or just no structure at all, one intergroup might try to solve the problems, and they might solve the problems of 20 meetings. But because this was obviously a common problem, within months we had formed the predatory behavior, addressing predatory behavior working group at Toronto, and suddenly we had people from all across the country and in Europe working on the same problem. That is what a service network can do. It creates a world where we're not, just like we don't want to do our individual recovery in isolation, it allows us not to do the business of helping people in recovery in isolation. That's the core goal we're trying to get at here. So again, committee highlights for the last year. One thing we needed to fill out, and it really started with the formation of this region to the Greater Western Region, we had on the books the idea that if you formed a region, you could actually appoint a trustee or nominate a trustee to the board of trustees, which is fine, but we had no definition of a region. I could actually say, I want to create a new region for Falls Church, Virginia, please put me on the board. And we had nothing to say, you couldn't do that. And we would be in danger of having a 300-member board of trustees, which would probably be more chaotic than the original. So we were tasked with putting order on the, on that kind of thing. This is what we've started in the U.S. and Canada. We have intentionally not tried to organize areas outside the U.S. until we can actually have conversations and figure out if these are even the right types of models or whether other ways of doing service networks in Europe and in other non-U.S. areas that were more appropriate. And what we really did was we started paying attention to how was the organizing already happening. Region 2 is pretty much exactly as it was organized. That looks like a huge region, it is, but actually many of those states in the middle are very low population states, so it's not as big as it seems. Region 3 is in the upper Midwest. We already have a group that's trying to form a region there. So we actually kind of looked at where are you organizing. As it happens, this follows very closely to a government agency, the U.S. Census Bureau, how they break up the country. But that was an oddity and a coincidence. Really, we started tracking what was happening. So we did Region 3 to track the activity happening there. recently, and a few of the people, Josh is a big part of it, Justine, who sent in a message, are forming a Northeast region, what we call Region 5. And essentially that goes from Maine down to my area, D.C., Northern Virginia. And what we did is we created a map based on what was happening. The other thing we did, because we know all of this has to be organic, we can create a map. It doesn't mean a group is going to form a region in this. We also want it to be organic, and maybe the next slide. And I'm sorry, flip back. We want it to be organic and flexible. So if, for instance, somebody in Maine probably is not going to want to be in the greater western region, but if somebody that's right on one of the borders of these regions, they have total, you know, latitude to say, we feel more comfortable affiliating with this than the others. Very much like a meeting affiliating with an intergroup. So we presented this to the board, and then Canada is one region right now. We presented this to the board, it was approved, it was put out, and to say it's organic and flexible, the idea is whatever we decide today, we know that ACA is growing so rapidly, this is not the 100-year solution. You know, we're trying to get something that's dealing with current events, guiding us to the future, but we also know there will be a lot more other types of service and, you know, groups pulling together, and the whole spirit of this is to allow that to happen and begin to figure out how to weave it in. So next slide. So other highlights, we also defined other service components, and it looks a lot like, I'm sorry, I don't have the pages in the service, I left my notes back there. There is a section in the reports on the service structure committee, that's where you can find this. The specific definitions we have of what a meeting does, what an intergroup does, et cetera, is in there. Other highlights, we did a very comical dry run telephone town hall, which instead of our normal business meetings, actually invited people to come in and talk and answer questions. We actually got some very good feedback out of it, and we expect to be doing more town halls talking about these issues going forward. Also, very importantly, have an event tomorrow called Putting the W into W. So it means putting the world into world service. It's anybody, particularly from Europe, or really anybody who's wondering how they can help create a more robust service network for themselves. I would invite you to look at the AWC program and be there tomorrow. And then, as I mentioned, and I think it's maybe the context is clear, we now are called the Service Network Committee, the idea of creating something where you don't have to do your meetings alone. So with that, next slide. And then lastly, as I mentioned, we're going to begin a dialogue with non-American fellowships, but everybody's welcome. The program tomorrow is at 3 o'clock, 1500. And then other things that are goals for the coming year, we want to look more. This is something we've been talking about. You know, 3 years ago, if people came to the ABC and the AWC, it was a wonderful, warm experience, and we'd never see you again. And then a whole different group would come the next year, and then a different group the next year. We really are finding there's so much commitment and passion at these events. We really are inviting you. Stay involved, you know. And it's been happening. It's not everybody, but a significant number of people have found their way onto committees, and it's really been a source of great energy and newness to what we do, and it keeps us a fellowship organization. Jim B. in the back, who has been doing all of our technical support, he has been saying, I am willing to take on the service manual. I pray that some people in this room will go back to Jim B. and say, can I help you with that? Because that's going to be a big bear of a job, but it'll be very valuable. And then lastly, Jim B. is going to be our new chair in the coming year. Marsha's rotating off the board. I'm rotating off the committee. So Jim will be our leader going forward. So with that, next slide. Aha, delegate questions. Okay. Josh.
This is Josh, Intergroup 626. So, correct me if I'm wrong, but WSO is part of that Envision Service Network, yes?
Very much so. I mean, again, as happened like with the addressing predatory behavior, we are one piece of the service network. We do a certain kind of service. We are not unique or separate from. So the idea is that a local level might, let me just say the distinction. If you have a problem in a meeting under the fourth tradition of autonomy, it's generally best dealt with at the meeting level. You might need help from the intergroup, but the more local the support you get, it's good. On the other hand, if there's a problem, as happened in the case of the predatory behavior, if there's a problem with the predatory behavior that's a worldwide problem, that's best dealt with at the worldwide level in my vision.
So my question is then, as part of this service network, if any other piece of that service network has perhaps like a suggestion or something for another part of that service network, including WSO, in WSO in particular, is there something like a suggestion box or something? How does that work?
Josh has asked, is there a suggestion box? There actually are several, and I think even there may be a better way to really make it obvious. Like, here you go. This is actually a two-day suggestion box, you know, every year. I'll get to you in a second, Sharon. We also have a monthly call every second Saturday of every month. There always is time for just member comments and requests. So there's always at least once every 30 days an opportunity to actually talk directly to any of us on the board. And then I think the part where maybe we can look at the website interface on this, you can always send an email for action. So David.
If you look in the volunteer room where Ms. Jody is, and actually soon to be posted on our website as a list of all the committees with the email address so you can contact that committee in. So rather than a suggestion box, you can go directly suggesting to that particular committee. So that would be pretty direct.
I think Christian and then Christine.
Christian into group two. Back to the region structure, these new five U.S. regions. Will each region now have the right to send a trustee to the board of directors?
They will have the means to. One of the other things which I think I read over that we were also tasked with was coming up with some performance criteria that we would look at in deciding whether to certify a region. There's two different pieces of it. I'm just saying, to even have the right to nominate somebody, you would have to go through. Essentially, we want to know, have you made a real attempt to reach meetings that you're representing in intergroups? Do you have any indices of real participation, transparency, those kinds of things? Things that would really say it's not just one person, you know, as a lone operator. However, and this is an important point, Greg R. talked a lot about the nominating committee. Any region that is certified can nominate a candidate for trustee. They have to meet the same criteria as any other board member. So we have a criteria listed on the nominating committee page. And so you would submit that nominee to the nominating committee. They will look at it. If you meet the criteria, then it gets forwarded to the board. So as a result, if you sent us somebody who was in their first week of recovery, the nominating committee would send it back. So it's a right to nominate a trustee, but a trustee who meets the basic criteria that all other board members do. So I see Sharon in the back, and then, I'm sorry, Christine, then Sharon, and then Carol.
Christine, Connecticut 112. I'm a little unclear as to the distinction between the functions of a region and an intergroup. And I have a concern that with difficulty in finding people to serve in the intergroup capacity, we may be actually adding an additional burden by creating people to actually run, administer, whatever the word is, a region. So I guess my question is, what do you expect a region to do or accomplish that an intergroup does not already do?
A really great question, and I'm going to take a moment on, and then Carol, who raised her hand. I'll be back to you, Sharon, but I'd like to wait and get Carol's input on this because they've already got a region. A lot of this has to do with scale. A meeting can only deal with the 15 people or 20 people in your room. An intergroup can only deal with whatever groups are participating within that zone. It's pretty limited by definition. We, for instance, WSO level, can help coordinate with the national committee, as we have with Sweden, to do a world convention. It's a much higher level of organization. So a couple of examples. One is you might be able to do regional, you know, workshops, recovery workshops, that really bring people together from multiple areas, would be one example. There's certainly probably a better ability to do H&I, hospitals and institutions work, at the scale of a region than you could, you know, through the intergroups. But the important thing, Christine, again, all of this is guided by the fourth tradition. Nobody has to form a region simply because they occupy a certain part of the map. If they feel like their level of development, and this is something which we're going to be talking with Europeans about, if the need is really at the intergroup level and not at the region level, well, that's been true for many years. A community can stay in that posture. If they feel ready to move to sort of being able to organize events at a higher level, you know, typically it's because there are people who are ready to take the leadership. It's like many of us have probably been in areas where there was no intergroup and then an intergroup formed. It's actually quite similar, but they just can operate on a higher scale of activity. So Sharon, and then to Carol.
Okay, first of all, a point of information. Jim is going to be posting the list of the committees online to the service website soon. Okay, now, and then this Sharon, this Sharon is from Sydney Intergroup 627. We are keen to be more connected to WSO. How can we get involved in the discussion regions outside of North America? We want stronger connections to ACA around the world, especially groups that have longer-term recovery than our groups here in Sydney, which has only been resuscitated for about 3 years.
So that gets to the heart of this notion of the value of a network. And may I ask of that one, because if there's one thing I'd like to hear, we're going to have to wrap up earlier. I have a whole interactive program. It was bound to happen today. I have finally completely blown the time budget, so we're going to sort of wrap up with this Q&A. Do people feel like this idea of trying to fill out a network so that, you know, that we have many more intergroups and we have regions for the intergroups to coordinate in, and also things like workshops online that Jim and I were talking about yesterday and Slack for people to coordinate, you know, to communicate, do people generally feel like that's a positive development for the fellowship? Okay. The question is, this whole notion of the network we've been talking about, this idea of greater connectivity and mutual support, as well as, you know, people to talk to, not operating meetings and even intergroups in isolation. Do people generally think that's a good aspiration for ACA? Okay. Anybody thinks this is the worst idea or the worst half hour of their lives? All right. Security. So we're down to a couple of questions. I'm going to start with Carol, and then we'll see who else wants to talk.
Okay. Jim, could you put up page 119 of the book? 119.
Of the binder,
The binder. It's the regional trustees part. While he's doing that, if you have your book open on where you've been, you have the map. And Region 2 covers 13 states. The reason Region 2 covers 13 states and the reason Region 2 is in place is because most of the intergroups are in California, a few in the others. And we have now one in Utah, but until after we formed, we didn't have one in Utah. And I don't know if Region 2 had anything to do with that, but I hope we did.
We have isolated meetings in Alaska and Hawaii, Montana, Idaho, and some of these states have, like Idaho has a lot of meetings, sort of, but they're separated from each other by geography. Wyoming is one of those too. They just don't have, they're isolated meetings. They don't have any connection to each other a lot of times, unless it's like two meetings from one person. And they have no idea what an intergroup is. And we have been contacting all of the Region 2 has been contacting all of these people, trying to contact all of these people, and communicating with them that they, if they can form an intergroup, if they have enough meetings to form an intergroup, that will help form more meetings. When I moved to the Central Coast of California, we had no meetings at all, period. That was in 1999. This is a small rural area that I moved to, and it took about two or three years, actually, to get one meeting in that area. And I did that because I was on telephone meetings the whole time, and I really needed, I needed hugs. So now we have, we had six, now we have five. We have one area that's way far away and doesn't seem to, communicate with us a lot and hasn't asked for a lot of help, and they keep dying. They keep starting meetings and they close. And so that shows you a network is, but you have to reach out. You can't stay isolated. So we are reaching out to them, but sometimes it doesn't, it's the way it is. So anyway, that's, now what was the question?
Not sure at this point. So we're down to, I'm going to give 30 seconds to Des, and then 30 seconds to Bonnie, and then we have to wrap up. So last statements and thoughts. I apologize for the time constraint.
Des, DC 08. 2 points, and I'll try to make them really quickly, is the first is, this might be from my perspective from where I see my group at, but I think the networking for it to be really organic has, it would be better to be topical. So a way to get people involved by the topics they're passionate about. So bringing that committee level and skip the region, skip the intergroup down to the fellowship. That's, to me, the link that's missing. And then the second part is something that Carl kind of touched on, that there is a part of the fellowship that we rarely hear talked about in the rooms, and that's the phone meetings and the online meetings. And where that is, I think sometimes people think of it as a bridge between getting to a face-to-face meeting, but that's a place where the network is needed more than ever, because there's not the ability to connect with face-to-face people as much. So being able to launch that network and be able to get a voice out there to be able to support that part of the fellowship, because there are people who are solely relying on virtual meetings to be able to do their recovery.
That's an excellent point. Can you talk with either me or Jim sometime in a break? Because I'd like to hear more that you're thinking on that. And last statement from Bonnie, and then we'll wrap up.
Bonnie, Texas 081. One way of conceptualizing this is that regions, administratively at least, connect members to WSO. Intergroups connect meetings to each other. Okay, intergroups come and go, wax and wane. The idea of a region is conceptualized as a more permanent fixed area structure geographically.
I want to thank,
Alexia, IG 632. I just want to ask what about fellowships that are becoming nonprofit organizations? Where do they fit?
I understand this question, and I think it's more an issue for Europe, that a lot of countries require fellowships to actually register as nonprofits, that kind of thing. I think this is, again, as an example, and it reminds me of one last thing I'd like to mention. That's exactly where the cross-sharing of information is very helpful. WSO won't really be able to give you much guidance on that because it's not a common thing that many of us have dealt with, whereas if you start dealing laterally sideways with other European fellowships, you will probably get better guidance on that, and that's, again, the benefit of a network. And then lastly, one other thing I want to mention, all of this stuff has been talking about North America, and I appreciate the patience of Europeans sitting through this. We do believe in some form a network is important pretty much everywhere. There's going to be a meeting, two meetings tomorrow on this, and Mybert's, yours is at 10:15? Okay, 10:15 in one of these rooms. There's going to be a meeting focused solely on European service. If you would like to know more and begin really helping to develop where do we go next in terms of how European fellowships support each other, strongly encourage you to find that in the program and be there. Mybert will be facilitating that. And then sometime later in the day, if you have not enjoyed enough time seeing me in the front of the room so far, we are also doing, I'm stepping in for Marsha on this one also, it's a program calling Putting the W in WSO. That's at 3 o'clock tomorrow, I believe. I'm not sure which space, one of the spaces. That's gonna come back and keep expanding on, we'll do some of the, do more interactive exercises we couldn't get to today. So with that, the person I want to thank most is Greg, who will probably be glaring at me tonight for blowing up your schedule. But thank you very much for this time and the presentation.
Thank you, Charlie. Okay, so as you might have noticed, what we've done is we've done some changes to the schedule, but what we also want to do is move the motion that we had yesterday and the other motions we're going to get, or maybe it's only one now, to the next phase, and then we will, or to the next session, and then we will proceed to ratification of the board and complete with Jim talking to us about the 2020 ABC-AWC. So in order to prepare ourselves mentally and physically for the, you know, the post-lunch discussion, what I want to do is take a few minutes longer break. Let's take 15 minutes, and I'm going to give you, now be careful, because I'm going to say, we're going to start, this is actually 17 minutes, we're going to start at 3:05. So if you want to participate in the discussion, please be in the room in the seat at 3:05. Now, again, I'm going to put in a plug instead of Jody having to jump over to the microphone. Stop by and see the service desk and what we have for literature in the fellowship room. So I'll see you in 16 minutes.